Hey there, friends and enemies too. I hope you've had a blessed day today. Regardless of the storms, regardless of what things you've had to go through, trials, tribulations, aches, pains, sufferings, I hope you can remember to give praise and thanks to the Lord, no matter what happens in your life, because the Bible does indeed say, we walk by faith, not by sight. Faith in the Bible, as I keep teaching you, means obedience, fidelity, and trust. So we walk in obedience to the Lord. We practice fidelity toward Him. We're true to Him, and we trust Him in all things, no matter what happens. Faith isn't getting what you want, but it's trusting in the Lord and remaining obedient to Him. Regardless of what happens, you know that it all fulfills the plan of the Lord. You know, we go through so many things in this life, and we don't really know what God's plan is. We don't know whether it's something for our own lives, but there could be things you're going through that's going to affect someone's life down the road that you don't even know, and you may never know them, but it's going to have an impact on their life. So we have to trust God in all things, and I know it can be so hard when we're really going through it. But I don't know if you do this. I'm sure some of you out there do, but there's times I'll just be sitting there and I start thinking of things I've done and how horrible I have been to the Lord and how much love and kindness and patience that He has shown to me. And even so many times in my life when I wasn't even being faithful or obedient to Him, when God still took care of me and still blessed me, and yet I would time and time again forget about Him, put Him on the back burner, and put the desires of the flesh first and foremost. And that's not what we're supposed to do, of course, but I've done that. We've all done it, but yet God has loved us so much. But now is the time, I feel strongly by what I've studied in the Word, for us to get serious and to really fear the Lord in all things. The Bible tells us that we're always supposed to fear the Lord, meaning deep reverence and respect for the Lord. And that is part of what keeps us from sinning, because just like a child, when they break the rules, they're afraid that they're going to get punished by their parents. So it keeps them on the straight and narrow. Well, God will chasten after us when we disobey Him, and we need to have that deep reverence and respect for Him. But the church today doesn't fear the Lord because they like that ear-tickling message. They believe in this happy-go-lucky Jesus that is okay with sin. It's not a big deal, and this and that. And that is not the Jesus Christ or the God in the Bible. But yeah, anyways, I'll just be sitting there sometimes and I'll be thinking about the things I've done and how horrible I've treated the Lord. And trust me when I say this is necessary. All of us should really ponder these things. And as I keep saying, and I keep showing you in the Word of God, we're supposed to humiliate ourselves before the Lord in true repentance. And I just think about that, and I'm like, Lord, I've really been terrible to You. Heavenly Father, I really just feel so convicted over these things that I have done, and I really want to walk with You, and I really want to hold Your hand, and I really want to be in You, and I really want to be faithful to You, Lord God Almighty, but I fall short in all of these different areas, and I need Your help, Lord. I need Your help desperately. And that's true for all of us. We also desperately need to just fall on our face before the Lord and plead with Him to deliver us, to help us, to strengthen us, to walk us in His ways, to teach us His truth. Quit relying on all these teachers and pastors and preachers and authors that you're all listening to, and really get one-on-one with the Lord and really plead with Him to show you the way. Show you the way, because Jesus Christ, Yeshua, is the way, the truth, and the light. No man comes unto the Father except through Him. And not only is He the way, the truth, and the light, but He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is our lifeline, and the precious gift that He gave to us is so amazing. It's unfathomable to our human minds to even imagine the suffering when you really sit and think about it and shut everything else out and think about what God did for us, what Jesus Christ Yeshua did for us. But yet we have trampled his beautiful, precious gift under our feet. We have just crushed it, destroyed it. We, the church, have even been responsible, just like the church of his day, for putting Christ to death spiritually by removing him as head of the church and replacing him with an imposter, Satan appearing as an angel of light, the flesh God. And oh, how we've walked in the flesh. Oh, how we have disobeyed the Lord and walked away from him. We have lost the way. We have missed the mark, wandered from the path. And then all we think about is ourselves, our own needs, our own desires, the things that are best for us. We have forgotten the true love that we're supposed to have for our Heavenly Father, the true love we are supposed to have for other people. We spend our time getting frustrated with other people, getting offended, getting hurt over other people, getting angry at other people, spewing hatred towards other people when the Bible commands us to love. You know, when we sin, every time we sin and disobey the Lord, according to the Bible, we are an enemy of God. Yet those of us who sin and disobey, and don't even sit there and tell me you're perfect and you don't sin, you who are watching this video, every time we sin and disobey, we are an enemy of God. But yes, so many of us sit there and spew hatred on the internet towards other people. We spew hatred in our conversations about other people, whether they are people of the world or people of the church. We sit there and complain and gripe and moan and whimper about other people. And we gossip about others. And we say hurtful things to and about others. And we treat people on the internet that we don't know just because we can't see or touch them in person. I call it internet road rage. We treat other people, including famous people that we don't know, like garbage. But yet we're supposed to be the church. We're supposed to be shining the light. We're supposed to be shining the love of Yeshua Jesus Christ. Now, I don't go for this wishy-washy, watered-down, false love that so many people, the feel-good message people teach and believe in. I believe in absolute truth. I really do. But there's a way that we do it, and the way that it's being done is not the right way. It is the church who is spewing hatred. I can't tell you how many times I've witnessed this myself, and I can wholeheartedly say it, and that it is true, and I hear other people say it. I get more love from unbelievers, from people of different beliefs who are not even Christian people, from Muslims, from all sorts of other people, Buddhists, and just plain old atheists and non-believers that show more love and kindness than the people I see who are supposed to be Christians today, that say they're a Christian. The church is filled with contempt, with hatred, with bitterness, with wickedness, with self. That is what I see. And this makes me feel so sad. When I think about it, it makes me feel so sad that I too have been guilty of the same. And I feel so heartbroken when I think about the condition of God's people. But yet we are so blinded by all of these false teachings. We're so blinded by all of these things that don't really matter, that have nothing to do, nothing at all to do with what the real problem is. And we're all so caught up in all of it. When the real problem is ourselves, it's our heart, it's self, that is the problem. And we're not looking at it because we're too busy looking at everyone else's sins, from the world's sins to the sins of our sisters and brothers and everything else that Satan has us looking at. That's what we're looking at. Isn't he such a master magician? No wonder the definition of serpent in Hebrew is magician and sorcerer, because that is just what a magician does. A magician gets you to look at something else so that you miss what he's really doing. My friends, as long as we fall for this lie, as long as we continue to do these things and avoid the real problem, as long as we do that, we will continue to fail. We will not walk in the blessings and in the glory of Jesus Christ, Yeshua, because we will not be doing the work of the Lord. God is waiting on us to produce the fruit. No wonder Jesus said, understand the parable of the fig tree. We must produce the sap. We must become ripe. We must produce the fruit. That is what God is waiting on. But until we obey the Lord God Almighty, until we walk in obedience, until we truly repent and produce the fruit of the Spirit that God is waiting on, the blessings won't come. The miracles will not come. The power of the Holy Spirit, because we're in the wilderness, the desert, void of any rain, void of the outpouring of the Spirit, it will not come until we decide to take things seriously. And that is what the Lord is speaking to me. It is time for the church to take God seriously. Quit making God out to be your best friend. Quit making jokes about God. Ha 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 is what I see the church doing. God is so funny, making little jokes here and there, putting their memes up on the internet and laughing like he's their best friend and it's comedy hour. I'm not saying that it's not okay to laugh and have fun in the Lord. I'm not saying we're supposed to be a bunch of unhappy, miserable people. I promote fun and doing things that are fun, but I'm talking about our relationship with the Lord, focusing on our relationship with the Lord. Quit condemning other people. Quit coming against other people unless you are free from sin yourself. Quit pointing a finger at other people. That's what Jesus meant when he said, get the log out of your own eye. Quit trying to pick something out of your brother's eye when it is you that has a log in your own eye. You've got the sin in your own eye. You can't see clearly because you've got sin in your own heart. You're misjudging your brother or sister because of the way you're looking at something. You can't see it for what it is. You need to repent yourself. My friends, we really need to focus on our relationship with the Lord. That being said, I want to pray Daniel 9 with you. I want to pray it, and we are for sure supposed to be obeying the Ten Commandments. Where does the church get off on teaching that we're not? Why are you so deceived? It's all over the Bible, my friends. Open your eyes and study it. It's in the New Testament, the Old Testament. Obey the commandments of God, Jesus' own words. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Jesus very much so says all over the New Testament that we are to obey the commandments. There won't be one letter or part left out of them that we're not supposed to obey until everything has been finished. That's what we're supposed to do. Let's pray Daniel 9. I ask those of you listening to really close your eyes and focus. Pray with me. Agree with me in prayer. Pray this prayer. It is powerful. Pray Psalm 119 sometimes too. It's the longest book of the Bible, or I should say longest chapter of the Bible, not book. Psalm 119. You guys, we've got to humiliate ourselves. This is so serious. Times are serious. It's not about the president. It's not about the economy. It's not about the Pope. It's not about any of these things. It is about you and me. It is about our heart. It is about the condition of the hearts of God's people. And all of these other things are a smokescreen puffed up by Satan himself to get you to look at that instead of at yourself. Yes, humiliating yourself before the Lord. Humiliating yourself before the Lord, pleading with him to deliver us from our own sin, from the ways of the flesh. So let's look at Daniel 9. Let's pray it together, my friends. Please pray it with me. Father God, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, we gather together in your name, Father, and we pray this prayer that Daniel prayed many, many, many years ago. Lord, we pray this prayer to you from our hearts, Lord, with meaning and depth of emotion and sincerity, Father. We humble ourselves before you, Father. Please hear our prayer. O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments, we have sinned. O Heavenly Father, we have sinned. We have committed iniquity, acted wickedly, and rebelled, even turning aside from your commandments and ordinances. Moreover, we have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and all the people of the land. Righteousness belongs to you, O Lord, but to us, open shame as it is this day. To the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and all of Israel, those who are nearby and those who are far away, in all the countries to which you have driven them, because of their unfaithful deeds, which they have committed against you. Open shame belongs to us, O Lord, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong compassion and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him. Nor have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his teachings, which he set before us through his servants, the prophets. Indeed, all of Israel has transgressed your law and turned aside, not obeying your voice. So the curse has been poured out on us, along with the oath which is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God. For we have sinned against him. Thus he has confirmed his words, which he had spoken against us and against our rulers who ruled us, to bring on us great calamity. For under the whole heaven, there has not been done anything like what was done to Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this calamity has come on us. Yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our iniquity and giving attention to your truth. Therefore, the Lord has kept the calamity in store and brought it on us. For the Lord our God is righteous with respect to all of his deeds which he has done, but we have not obeyed his voice. And now, O Lord our God, who have brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and have made a name for yourself, as it is this day, we have sinned, we have been wicked. O Lord, in accordance with all your righteous acts, let now your anger and your wrath turn away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain. For because of our sins and the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people have become a reproach to all of those around us. So now, our God, listen to the prayer of your servant and to my supplications. And for your sake, O Lord, let your face shine on your desolate sanctuary. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations in the city, which is called by your name. For we are not presenting our supplications before you on account of any merits of our own, but on account of your great compassion. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and take action. For your own sake, O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people are called by your name. Look right here where Daniel in his prayer sees us here at the end. It says, righteousness belongs to you, O Lord, but to us open shame as it is this day. To the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and all Israel, those who are nearby and those who are far away, and all the countries to which you have driven them, because of their unfaithful deeds, which they have committed against you. You see, Daniel, one of the great prophets and messengers of the Lord, he saw the end. He saw the end. He saw the desolations. And to him, it was sickening and horrific. But Daniel is also symbolic and prophetic, as you know. And there was the part in the Bible where the angel comes to Daniel and delivers this message. And Daniel is so sick, he almost dies. And the angel has to give him his strength. That's a picture of the end times church that is nearly dead. But God lifts us back up, raises us to our feet, gives us our strength back, raises us to our feet and returns the power to us. My friends, we have been horrible. The church is desolate now. It is a wilderness. It is dried up, desolate of the power of God, desolate of the love, desolate of the blessings. And I'm talking about the true church of Jesus Christ, God's people here on this earth. This message is for the scattered exiles, the remnant, those of us scattered all over the world, those of us who have been scattered to the four winds of the earth. We are in the fourth corner, the very last one, the very end, and the church is desolate. It's time for us to truly repent. It's time for us to truly take our relationship with the Lord serious. I know so many of us are weak. I know so many of us are sad. I know so many of us are depressed, lonely. Some of us are to the point of giving up. We feel defeated. My friends, that's the time and place we need to be in. We need to be broken so that God can put us back together. We have to fall apart. You see, we're the clay pot that has been crushed and broken. We cannot be whole until we are broken. My friends, are you ready to completely fall apart so that God can put us back together in His image, which is the image of His Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua, through the power of His Holy Spirit? The only way to be put back together in the image of God is to fall apart. That broken pot I just described represents the flesh, the ways of the flesh. It must break. It must crumble. It must go away, be put to death in order that we can be in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua. Are you ready for that? If you are, my friends, I cannot urge you enough. God is waiting on all of His people to truly repent and to truly humiliate themselves before Him in total surrender and confess and admit that we have just been so horrible. We have been so horrible. The flesh nature in us is so ugly. We have sick hearts, my friends. Our hearts are sick. We need God to come in and do heart surgery. We need God to come in and transform our hearts, to change our hearts, to give us a heart after God Himself. We need this desperately. God made a promise. He made a covenant that He would reserve a remnant at the end. He will not relent on His covenant. But we must obey, my friends. We must walk in obedience. We must walk in surrender. We must walk in true humility. We must become low. We must be laid low. Think about what it means to be humiliated. If you have any amount of pride, it's no fun. It hurts. God's not coming for a prideful bride. God's not coming for a bride who's full of self. God's coming for a bride who is full of the love of the Lord, obeying the words of Jesus Christ. Love your enemies. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Love them. Not spew hatred about them. Not condemn them and damn them and speak all sorts of horrible things about them, but love them. Be a city on a hill. Be a light to the world. Be a light in the darkness. This is the time of darkness. This is the time that we are to be the light of the living God, the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that God who is in the Bible, written about in the Bible, not this fake God being taught from the church today, but the one in the Bible itself, the one who is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God does not change. The church has changed the teachings of God, but God himself is not changed whatsoever. He is the same fierce God who punishes for sin in the Old Testament. He is that same God today. Jesus Christ, Yeshua, did not put to death the Ten Commandments. Instead, he renewed the Ten Commandments and he sealed them on the cross with his blood. We are to obey them. It is to be in our heart. It cannot be burdensome. It's got to be from our heart, my friends, and that's where we need the heart change. God made us to be an obedient people, not a bunch of disobedient people who are wandering around like Israel when they wandered around the mountain. For 40 years, they wandered, complaining, doubting, sinning, being disobedient, going after other gods, going after the ways of the flesh and living in the flesh. He made a people to be mighty, to be leaders, to subdue the earth. That is what he said in the book of Genesis, to rule and subdue. He made us to be a kingdom of priests on this earth. He didn't make us to be the way we are today. But my friends, we are the way we are today because we have sinned against God. We have sinned against the living God. We have forgotten the God who made us. We have forgotten the God who has blessed us. We have forgotten the God who sent his son, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, and used his salvation and the death and resurrection like an insurance policy. We have trampled the Lord our God and his great love and his gift underfoot. So the Lord has removed that gift, that power, and the might of the Spirit, the outpouring, because we have taken it for granted. God will return the rain, my friends. He will return the rain. Will it be for this generation? Or the next, or the next after that. Look at what happened during the Exodus. That generation that wandered around the mountain, they disobeyed so much that God gave it to the next, that promised land. You guys, Israel never fully took possession of the promised land. The closest they came was during the reign of King Solomon. We are still on the journey to reach the promised land. If you want to reach the promised land, if you're tired of suffering, if you're tired of living every day in depression and in fear and anxiety and misery and torment and turmoil, if you're tired of it, then it's time to truly repent. It's time to truly humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and truly repent and plead with him like never before, each and every day, as much as possible for a heart change. Truly repent. Ask him to show you the ugliness of the flesh. Ask him to show it to you till you're in tears, to weigh it on you like lead weights, my friends. Now is the time. Please hear what I'm saying. I hope you've taken this message seriously. I cannot tell you enough how important it is, how necessary it is, and where we are at. We're closer than anyone is teaching. It's not about what's going on in the world. We are so further along in Bible prophecy and in the book of Revelation than most of you realize. We really are. We're right there. My friends, the time is now. If this message has blessed you, I pray that you might consider sowing a gift to this ministry and what I do. This is what I do full time. In fact, you can see all around me that the room I'm sitting in is pretty much so empty because I'm having to move. So, yeah, I've told that story in other videos. I don't want to be like a broken record, but I'm having to move. I can't afford this house anymore. It also didn't help that the landlord raised the rent by like $150, but I just can't afford it anymore. So I'm having to lose my home. So if you could please help support me, if these messages bless you or you feel led or moved to sow a gift into what I'm doing, please consider doing that. I genuinely appreciate it. By doing that, you are helping me to be able to continue teaching the truth, reaching the lost. And there's many of you out there who say to me that you would love to be able to teach and witness to others, but you don't have the means to do so. So I would say to you that every time you share these messages or you support what I'm doing, you are taking part in witnessing to others because you are giving me the ability to do that. So also consider sharing these messages. That helps greatly. Don't forget to subscribe to my website, truthhuntersshow.com. It is free. It's just a free WordPress site. I'm trying to get everybody to subscribe to my website. There's no ads, no spam, nothing like that. Your name's not put on some mailing list of some sort where we're going to send something out to anyone. It's just a free WordPress. The reason I'm doing that is because my channel is so hardcore censored, so hardcore shadow banned. If I can get you all to subscribe to my website, then every time I post a video, I post it on my website too, you will get the notification in your email. Now, I do have people who have told me it goes to their spam. So if you don't get anything from truthhuntershow.com for like a week, go check your spam folder and mark it as not spam or move it to your inbox, whatever you need to do. Very important. Go subscribe to my website so that you never, ever miss a video. Help me fight this censorship. God bless those of you who have been giving. You know who you are. I know who you are. And more importantly, God knows who you are. Thank you so much for your kind help and consideration. I genuinely appreciate it. Those of you out there who can't do anything, maybe you're in the same boat I am, just help me out by praying and please share these messages. That would mean so much to me. Again, God bless all of you. Thank you so much for listening to this message. I hope it blesses you abundantly. I hope you take it to heart. I hope you consider the words I have spoken in this message, you guys. I'm going to tell you one more time. I know I've told you probably 10 or 15 times in this message. It's time for us to take God more seriously. Quit taking Him so lightly. Take your salvation seriously. Take your relationship with the Lord seriously. Now is the time. Now is the time. Study the Bible for yourself. Quit believing everything you hear. Satan is a magician. Study the words for yourselves. Remember, it talks about the end being so deceptive. Jesus told us the gate was wide that led to destruction and many would enter through it, but the gate was narrow or small that leads to life and only few will find it. So whatever the overall majority of the church today is believing is a lie. The Bible tells us so, my friends. The Bible tells us so. Don't you want to make sure you know the truth? You should. It should be the most important thing for you. And just listening to other people or studying with a perverted set of lenses isn't going to cut it. You've got to delete everything from your mind. You've got to go back and start over from square one as if you never even heard about God or Jesus. That's why Jesus said, unless you become like a child, meaning unlearned and uneducated, you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Take it seriously, my friends, because then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, and nothing but the truth.